A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For the Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work."
Give us living water, give us living water, give us living water, give us living water.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I've done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Just begin with a little, it's always good to begin with a little story and helps us to settle down, and then we'll have a quick look at the gospel because we got lots of things to do at Mass this morning. I have to deal with all these here in the front, so I'm going to have my work cut out for me. A young lady was getting married, and she ordered a beautiful wedding cake, and she went along to the brought the cake along to the wedding decorator, and she said she wanted her favorite quotation from scripture to be put on her wedding cake, which was from the first letter of John, or the epistle of John, 1 chapter 4:18. Love casts out all fear, and the love, there is no fear in love. Love drives out all fear. But the decorator didn't know the difference between a gospel and the epistle. And when they went to cut the wedding cake at the wedding, on the wedding cake he had put from John 4:18, "You have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." Happy honeymoon. Now, just a tiny, tiny little bit of background to the gospel. Because I think if you have a little bit of background, it helps you to understand better. First of all, Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. That was a total no-no for a Jew to have anything to do with a Samaritan. For a Jew to associate with a Samaritan was a bigger crime than for a Jew to eat pig's flesh. Number two, this woman, and this is a very important point for many people in our church today, this woman came to the well at noon in the height of the midday sun. Now, normally women who came to draw water from the well early in the morning, and they would normally come in a group and they would have a little bit of gossip and a chat about local affairs and so on, and then go home with the water. But she came, we're told, in the heat of the day, in the midday sun. Why? Because she was a woman who felt she was ostracized. She was ostracized because of the fact that she had had five husbands, and the man she had now, her sixth, wasn't her husband. Now, we would, and this is where we went wrong, I think, in the church. So we would, wouldn't we tend to condemn a person like that? But listen, when you go back to the background, in those days, women had no rights, and women did not have the right to divorce. So she would have been divorced, she would have been widowed, she would have had five husbands, either because one or two of them died, or because they divorced her, and she was left on her own. And so Jesus would have known that. He would have understood that. Now, there's another beautiful thing in that gospel that's often missed. And so she now had a sixth husband, or a sixth man in her life. And then she met Jesus, number seven. And seven in Scripture denotes perfection. And so she met the first man in her life that really loved her for who she was. And that's a beautiful message that comes from that gospel. He loved her for who she was, rather than what she could give him. And what did he do for that woman? He restored her dignity totally, to the degree that for the first time in her life, she found real love, she found real happiness, and she found joy, to such a degree that she went running back, forgot about her water jar, left it behind her, and began running back to say, I met, and she could have used the word, I met the man of my dreams. I met the man of my dreams. I think he must be the Messiah. He must be the Christ, because I never met anybody like him before. And she became an evangelizer. she became a person with good news. That's the meaning of the gospel, good news. She became a person of good news, and she began evangelizing the very people who had ostracized her and wanted nothing to do with her. And they all came flocking to Jesus. Now, there's another, how does all that apply to us? Well, if there's anybody here at Mass this morning who has been divorced or is separated, hopefully you feel totally welcome, accepted. Totally accepted. And when I meet so many people who are divorced and they feel they're not really welcome in church, or they can't go to Holy Communion, my heart bleeds for them. And unfortunately, that's the impression we very often give in the past. And all I can do is, I never was part of that, and I apologize if anybody here has felt in any way not welcome or ostracized, because that's not what Jesus would think about you. And so it does away with this whole idea, and we still suffer a lot from this idea, the whole idea of worthiness. When you're dealing with God, it's not a game of worthiness, because nobody is worthy of God and of his blessings. I am not worthy, and I'm sure you can agree with me, you're not worthy. The bishop is not worthy. Even the Pope is not worthy. Nobody is worthy of God's love, but yet he gives it to us totally, totally freely. We don't have to earn it. It's a free gift from God. And that is the meaning of the living water welling up within you. From the moment you were created, from the moment of your conception, God was living within you. The Spirit of God was in you. That's the living water that's within you. And when you begin to accept that, God loves me as I am, well, then it changes your whole life. It really does. And that's what happened to that woman. She said, we were taught that we got to worship God on the mountain. And we go back in our own history. We thought we were the only ones who had God in our hand, the true faith. Protestants, well, they were on the way to hell, and everybody else. And Jesus taught her about the universality of God, that God is with everyone, no exception. And he said, look, what are you looking for? You're looking for your life, in your life, for happiness, for peace, or joy. And you're looking in the wrong places. We all begin our lives, don't we? Wanting this, wanting that, and wanting the other thing. And somebody said, the real pleasure is in buying something. You want something new, and you go and buy it. That's the real pleasure. What happens? You take it home, you take it out of the box or out of the bag, and what happens? That's it. The pleasure is now gone. Now you want something else. This is a true story. Many years ago, before coming over to the west coast of Africa, I used to help out in the summertime in the east coast, and mainly in Long Island and New Jersey. And I spent 13 or 14 years going to Long Island, and so I got to know some people there, and one man was quite friendly with me. And this year, when I went back, he said, oh, Father, I bought myself a lovely boat, and I'd love to take you out for a spin on the boat. So I said, fine. So I go along, and this lovely new shining boat that he has bought spent quite a lot of money, and he's gently taking it out of the harbor, and suddenly he says, do you see that yacht over there, Father? That's the one I really want next. And I thought, you just got a brand new boat, and now what do you want? You want a bigger one. And I thought, doesn't that sum up life? And that's it, really. It's a good way of finishing with the woman of Samaritan. What Jesus did, he opened her eyes to see that she had everything she could ever need if she only realized that she had the living water within her. And she went away, she found it, and that was it.